produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Awesomely Amazing. This is your Awesomely Amazing hostess, Jazara, and if nobody has told you today, you are awesomely amazing. So this evening, I am so happy to have Jeff Baylock come to the show. So let me tell you a little bit about him. I'm reading from his bio. He is from the mean streets of Roseland, Illinois. He has channeled his inner pain and surroundings with the art form of stand-up comedy. So, y'all, we're going to laugh tonight. For the past 9 years, beginning at Subterranean Lounge in Chicago Northwest Side, under the mentorship of Chi-Town comedy mogul Sean Monroe, Jeff Baylock calls his art the no-chill style, which he thought of a way to be more different than the average comic. I want people to laugh to the point to where they say, I'm going to pray for this guy. I can't believe he said that, he says. Jeff trained himself. And then when invited to Chicago's comedy club, Jokes and Notes, Jeff quickly took action to learn the game and begin his craft. In 2017, he decided he wanted to maximize his craft to learn the business-style comedy. He decided to create his label, JB Entertainment, and began throwing showcases all around Chicago in order to find the best artists he can represent. So far in his career, he's headlined 2 times, featured 10 times, opened 7 times, and hosted 15 times. Nowadays, Jeff is known as a comedy business guru as he has thrown over 15 shows and launches annual comedy competitions and theme showcases. All right, Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
All right, thank you. I am well, or shall I say I am awesomely amazing. How
That's
are you?
Right, because you're family now. You come here once and you're family. You know how that goes, like when your family.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Right, you know. So
we went Right. We didn't went through all necessary necessities. I stepped in and took my shoes off. I grabbed the glass, the good glass, not the plastic cup, the good glass.
You gotta act like you family. That's right. So you know where everything is. You make your own plate.
Right.
So how are you this afternoon, this evening?
You know, I want to say thank God that it's Friday, which is usually the norm. But I'm feeling pretty good, pretty good. Been a lot of interesting things that have been happening. And I'm feeling very confident going into this weekend.
Awesome. So have you all – okay, so let me back up. I'm stuttering. That's bad. Do people tell you you're funny before you started doing comedy, like on the level that you're doing it now? Were you doing it, like, say, as a kid?
No, I didn't create my funny until college. I was always the in the corner, quiet kid, just trying to pass my classes, you know, move on to the next grade, and get out of school as fast as possible. It didn't. My funny didn't start coming until, I guess you could say, we was at a lunchroom table in college, and you know how kids are. We just be roasting each other and just talking and talking. And then all of a sudden, at the school, which was Wright College, shout out to anybody who ever went to Wright College, they had like an open mic. It was like a universal open mic. They had singers, dancers, etc. So we go over there just to listen because they had, like, some dancers and musicians. It was pretty interesting. 10 minutes later, the host was like, hey, come to the stage. We finally got some comedy here. Give it up for Jeff Baylock. And I was like, wait, what? So my friend signed me up without my permission. And the host was like, you got 12 minutes. I was like, 12 minutes for what? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. So I just went up there and just started roasting everything. And everybody that was around me, people laughed. And since then, I was like, wait, I think I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, you know, YouTubing it, Googling, you know, what it takes to be a comedian. And then later on, stuff just started opening up for me, the doors.
That is super cool. So it's like you literally, your first time, you literally were thrown into it.
I was straight thrown into it. I was never the funny guy. Like, I tried to be quiet and, you know, just pay attention to what's going on. But apparently I was funny enough at the table to where they just threw me up there. And it was all, and I later found out it was a dare. They was like, man, throw him up there. And, yeah, that was very embarrassing. But it turned out pretty well.
I would say so.
And then what's even crazier, it went from that first time to now doing weekly shows. Then I end up being, because it was a club and an organization called the Open Mic Club. I later on became the president of the Open Mic Club, and I started throwing theme shows there. So that's when I started the knack for throwing shows. And this was all in 2012 where I started comedy.
Okay, so you went to college.
Yes.
What was your major?
Physical education, which is hilarious.
Okay.
I wanted to be a gym teacher, but I realized the job that I was working was the same annual yearly rate as a gym teacher. So I was like, well, I can either stay where I'm at, or I can go through 7 different state certifications to become a gym teacher and go to an elementary school to teach gym. So I just stayed where I was at, which was at the time was Walgreens.
Okay. So so what happened with college? With your degree? You changed your major?
So with college, it got to the point where I did it just for my mom, you know, just to go to college, because a lot of my siblings and cousins, they didn't go to college. They just was like, man, I got my diploma. I'm just going to do what I want. And that's when I finally realized that college isn't for everybody. It depends on what you're trying to go for. If you're trying to go for some type of career or just something in the field that requires you to have a degree, then, you know, go for it. But it got to the point where later on in college, I tried it for like 3 years. I didn't get no degree. I just had classes there, dropped classes there. But I was really just going for the experience, and I felt like I was wasting college time and money, so I decided, you know, I tried it. At least some college is still an answer choice on job applications. As long as it's still there, I'm good.
Well, but going there really was an experience that got you into what sounds like your passion.
Exactly. So after all of that, that's what I left out with. And it's funny because I can actually go back to school because I only got 8 credits left. So I can go back and get that if I so choose to.
Right, right.
So it wasn't like I was. So it wasn't like I completely wasted their time. Like I could have graduated, but I didn't want to be one of those kids that had like $40,000 of student loans, you know. So I wanted to like back off and just take my time with it. Yeah, I don't want that kind of debt in my life. It's terrible to fight off that one.
Yeah, yeah, that student loan, it, whoo. Last year, my student loan debt was forgiven, finally, after like umpteen years, because I went to school for criminal justice, but I went back and got my master's in education, and that's how they hooked me in. They were like, we'll pay for your student loan, and, you know. And
okay.
If you go into teaching, you'll do what? It's like, yeah, we'll wipe out
right,
your student loan debt. I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So year after year after year after year, I'm like, okay, y'all said y'all was going to pay my student loan. I'm still waiting. And they're like, well,
right.
Ma'am, you know, you've been out of school for a while. I was like, no, y'all said. And
y'all
so finally
said.
They made good on their word, though, because I was persistent. I was like, no, this is how
yeah,
you
got to stay on them because – they want to hit you with the, well, you didn't read the contract. I was like, I ain't see no contract. I ain't see the words.
Look, I'm like, I read it. I read it well because when I signed up for this, that was y'all sure. And you guys were like, yeah, you assured me. So now I'm sure you guys will take care of this. So
definitely.
I got a question. So your personality was quiet, laid back?
Yeah. I was the quiet, laid-back, kid-in-the-corner type. I try not to be the center of attention. I didn't want to be the popular guy.
But
and,
now you are, right?
Yeah, I'm like, I can't stay out of the spotlight. Every time I walk somewhere in the store, and I'm not trying to say I'm famous or anything, but I'm known in two different arts. One side is comedy, and the other side is photography. And then how I display myself on the web. It's like, oh, okay, that's that guy. That's that hazel eye light skinned guy.
is that how they describe you?
Some people describe that. Some people say, hey, man, you a comic, right? Yeah, I came to one of your shows. So it'd be people that, because some of my shows, a lot of times I either host the show or I just be in the audience enjoying the show. And it's all under my label. So sometimes they'll get a chance to congregate because a lot of, out of the 15 shows, I sold out like nine of them, I believe, probably 8 of them, if I had to be exact. And we're talking about crowds of 100 or more. So the show runs and I try to congregate, but a lot of times I don't. And then on social media, they'd be like, man, came to your show, wish you would have performed. So then I was like, now I got to perform. So then I started hosting the shows.
That is super cool. Let me ask you this, because I like going to comedy shows, but, like, what's the worst place for somebody to sit at a comedy show? Would you say front row?
The thing is, a lot of people get afraid of the front row because they think they're going to be roasted.
Mm-hmm.
Every comic is different. If you wear something that's distracting, like, of course, you're going to get talked about. Or it don't even come off as roasting. We could say something like, hey, y'all a cute couple. How long y'all been together? You know, a question. Because sometimes in comedy, when you're on stage, other than the comedian's jokes, there's comedy techniques that a comedian will use. A lot of times the comedian will forget their jokes, and what they do is they use what is called a comedy technique called the rest, and it's basically until you remember your next joke, you will pick on the crowd a little bit. So you do a little crowd work, and then eventually you'll remember your joke, and then you get back on track. You probably seen it before. It's fast, though. It's really, really fast. Because we do it so smooth to where it feels like it's part of the act. But a lot of times we forgot what we were about to say. And then once we figure out what we say, So we do a lot of pauses like that. There's technique, but it's very hard to master because not only do you have to execute the technique, but you got to put it in the flow of what you're doing. But my style of comedy, like I said, which is the no chill style, is I embarrass myself a lot. If I forgot my joke or if a mistake happened, I'm going to say it. I'm going to be like, look, man, I apologize, y'all. I forgot my joke. That's what happens when you drink too much. You know, something like that.
Okay.
So I announce the problem, and then I will make that funny because it's already embarrassing towards me, and anything that is painful and embarrassing to me is funny to y'all because it's happening in the now. So I will announce it. I'll be like, look, man, I forgot. My bad. Y'all want me to talk about something else? And I ask the audience that.
I think that's
so
cool.
That's another style. So there's a lot of technique going on with the comedian is delivering their jokes. There's a lot of them. I name a few of them on my YouTube. I have a YouTube channel where I talk about comedy techniques. Sure thing. It's Jay Balock Tutorials. JBAYLOCK Tutorials on YouTube. That tutorial channel is about dance moves, job tips, and fitness. And pretty soon it's going to be a channel where I just give tips on just random stuff from car buying tips to how to tie a tie. And recently I've added some things on there where I talk about different comedy techniques and not just the comedy techniques that are out there, but my favorites that I personally like to say. So when people listen to me, they know exactly how I'm delivering what I'm doing.
You are multi-talented. So
yes,
you do
comedy. I'm all over the place. I do comedy, acting, photography.
Tell us a little bit about the acting.
So the acting, it all started on season 2 of Empire, where I was doing a lot of background work, and it was a lot of fun, long hours. I remember we did a 2-day shoot, and each was 15 hours each in the hot sun in Mayweather, Illinois. It was a Free Loosage concert, and it was pretty grueling experience. And after all that time, I was only shown on camera for like 3 seconds.
Are you serious?
But, yes.
But you're like, hey, that's me right
seconds.
There.
Right. So you know how you'll get on TV and you'll tell your family, man, I'm on Empire. They'll be like, all right, well, I don't see you. Yeah, I was that guy right there sitting in the corner eating chips. They only showed it for a split second, but I was there. You got to pause it at the right time, though. You got to pause it. And
right.
From there, I ran into James Gordon, which is a member of the ACT-PAC, shout out ACT-PAC. He taught me a lot of things. He was like, hey, you know, you want to really get into the acting thing, you got to start rubbing elbows with people in the industry. And that's what I started doing. It got to the point where I started doing independent films with a whole lot of different Chicago artists. Chicago is so entertaining and talented. There's a lot of indie artists out there that are putting projects out there and having film festivals and everything. It's such an amazing thing. And black people, like, man, it's so amazing. Like, right now, to this day, I'm in 3 web series and 1 movie, which all of them got canceled due to the Rona. But next year is going to be a lot of work I have to do. And it's going to be pretty interesting. Yeah, since Empire Season 2, I think that was 2015. And until now, I have, like, I think 7 credits on IMDb.com, I believe. think I qualify for the union, but, you know, we're not going to get there yet. Because in order to fully take advantage of that, you want to have an agent that can make you a decent amount of money.
Okay. So you know what I'm getting ready to ask next, because I think we got a few more minutes left. So here's what I'm getting ready to ask you, but I think you already know.
Go for it.
We definitely want to laugh. And I know you were telling me that you have a book. So let's do this. Talk to me about the book first. We'll end with the laughter. That's what we'll do.
Sure thing. So I wrote a book because I wanted to try something different. At first, I said, when I make an autobiography, I wanted to make two. One was going to be before I got famous and one after I got famous. And then there's a part where I wanted to reveal my sexuality, my sex life. So I figured that could be a book by itself.
Right, so now, is somebody going to be upset? Is it a tell-all story? No, I'm just playing.
It pretty much is, but I created to where it's fiction and nonfiction because most of the people that are in the book, they have their own lives now. And before I wrote the book, I'm announcing on Facebook, and people just started hitting my inbox like, am I going to be in it? What you going to talk about? And I was, so I had to get permission first. You know, I didn't just, I'm going to write it like dude off on the, like, what's that dude name? Like Off the Wood when he had the black book. You know, I ain't want to just write it like that.
Right.
And the book is actually not only erotica, but it's also comedy mixed in. So it'll make you laugh, and it's some very helpful tips, too, especially for the men out there that are struggling in the bedroom department. It can help out a little bit.
Okay. Watch out now.
And
I'm going to get my church fan. Whew.
Yeah. It's on. Yeah, I know. Yeah, get the church fan. It's some deep stuff in there. You know, I ain't going to explain too much about it, but if you go on Amazon and you type in my name, Jeffrey Baylock, it will pop up because the name of the book is actually pretty long, so I'm not going to say that. Just type in my name, Jeff Baylock, on Amazon. There are e-books. There's 4 books total. And before you purchase the book, because you can either purchase it or if you have the Amazon Kindle, it's cheaper. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you get the books for free. And you can get it. They have it to the point where you can read a sample before you commit to buying it or download it, however you want to do it. But it's some pretty deep stuff. And like I said, it's both nonfiction, just to protect the people that's in it, and fiction because to protect the people that's in it, and then it's nonfiction because on my side it's all facts.
Okay. All right. So we definitely have to check that out. Those of us who are brave, because I know everybody's not brave.
Yeah.
I'm brave. I'm gonna check it out.
You gonna check it? Okay.
Yeah,
I'll send you the direct link. I got you.
Okay. Yeah, I ain't scared.
I got you. Let's see. I did have a joke. Let me see. I wrote this joke a long time ago. It's about my daughter. So it goes a little bit something like this. So I have a 7-year-old daughter, and one day I let her meet my father's side of the family. They're a bunch of Christian people, deeply spirited, God-fearing people. And we at the table, we finna have dinner. And my daughter's like, hey, Dad, can I say grace at the table? And I was like, oh, snap, yeah, you could do that. So I tell everybody, hey, be quiet. Millie's about to say grace and bless food. So she says, Daddy, can I say it like Mommy? I said, yeah, go ahead, go out. So everybody bowing their head. We close our hands. And she says, oh, God, yes, right there. Yes, Jesus, God. Whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? Wait. So I knocked my daughter out the chair. I was like, who taught you how to say that? Well, that's how Mommy says her prayers when she's in her bedroom. I called her mom immediately. It was like, oh, what the heck is you teaching our daughter? She's like, what you talking about? I said, you should have heard how she said grace. It was not holy. And it buries me and my whole family. And that's
oh, my goodness.
That's that piece.
Oh,
that actually really happened. And, to this day, I have to make sure that my daughter knows, like, yeah, we don't. And then once again, my father's side of the family, they're a bunch of God-fearing people. So you can just imagine their faces when they heard that.
I could imagine. When it came over, I was like, oh, my. And I could imagine it was like the MasterCard commercial, just priceless.
Yes,
like.
Priceless, yes. Because when they looked at me, so I was embarrassed. And the best that I could do was knock my daughter out of the chair. That was the best thing I could do. Because she wasn't going to stop. My daughter is one of those folks where when she commits to saying something, she's going to continue until she says it's over with. So you have to cut her off immediately. That was the best thing I could do. You know, a little violence there, but it's okay. She lived.
Like,
no babies was hurt. No babies was hurt during this prayer, Jesus.
Kids are so funny because they come from a place of innocence with a lot of stuff. And then people look at you as the parent, like, okay. And sometimes it's like, but I have nothing to do with that, truly. I don't. That's not me. And they're looking like, but you're the parent.
Right. It's like, hey, you the father. What you teaching your daughter? I say, hell, I ain't teach that. I don't pray like that. My prayers are super quick. Thank you for the food, for the nourishment of our bodies. Amen.
Straight directly to the point.
That's the best I get. Yeah, straight to the point. That's what happens when you miss church for 5 years straight. You know, you forget the extra 30 seconds of prayer. You turn it to 5 seconds. Just real quick, straight to the point. God got the message. He know my heart.
Yes. Do you have a favorite scripture?
A favorite scripture, man, there's so many. I was just reading one because I was thinking about getting a new tattoo, and it was going to be a Bible scripture, and it had something to do with, because I have 3 kids. I have 2 sons and a daughter, and for my my recent son, who was 5 months, it was a book that I was looking into. Yeah, I got a 5-month-old. Yeah, thank you. I got a 5-month-old, a 5-year-old, and then my daughter, the 8-year-old.
Nice.
And I can't remember the scripture at the moment, but it was something very positive because this particular baby, with the name is Jason, he was a miracle baby. He almost didn't make it, but he did. I was like, there's a Bible passage that talks a little bit something about it. I think it's in the book of Mark, I believe. I can't remember the scripture right now. That required me to run upstairs to find that Bible. But tune in next time on my Instagram when you see it, when I get it done. Then we'll know what it is.
Jeff, thank you so much for being here on Awesomely Amazing. I want you to tell everybody how they can connect with you on social media. So, have at it. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Tell them again. I'm not going to.
You can find me. No, I feel you. You can find me on all social media platforms under Jeff Calock. JeffCalock. I don't got no weird names, no super crazy stage name. It's very simple, Jeff Calock. Or if you really want to maximize your search to a smaller degree, you can just go to Google and type in my name, Jeff Calock, and it will pop up everything that you wish you want to see and or know.
Thank you, Jeff Calock. You have been an awesomely amazing guest, and anytime you want to come back to Awesomely Amazing, remember you like family, so you just come on in and
we'll
do this. So thank you.
You've been
you
an
so
awesomely
much.
Amazing host.
Thank you. Now, listeners, I want you to continue to have an awesomely amazing day. Carry it over into the weekend, and we will see you again real soon. Thank you. Have a great one.
Have a great one, everybody.
If I keep my mind on you, you keep me in perfect. said you'd give me everything I need.
Oh, you give me everything I need.
Oh, yeah.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
1858. Well, it's Monday, and I am excited to be here today on GMT Radio Network with my new podcast, The CEO Mindset. And today I'm in the studio and I'm joined by my good friend, Miss Coach K, as I call her, Miss Katrina Kimbo.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be back.
Yes. Super excited to have you in the studio today and just talking about the CEO mindset. So for my listeners that may be new, I want to just kind of explain what the CEO mindset is. And the CEO mindset is a podcast to help empower women business owners. And I think that is so incredibly important. You know, men, they get a lot of attention when it comes to business. They get a lot of support, but sometimes women don't receive that same type of support. So I think it's important that we have a show that's dedicated to us to keep us on track, maybe give us some tips to help make it through the week. So I'm really excited that this podcast will air every Monday. It'll help you get your week going. I'm excited about some of the guests that are going to be coming on to the show. And super excited for my sponsor, Miss Daphne Swift, who is with A Cut Above Lawn Care. And she's sponsoring our show. That's so awesome. She is the ultimate CEO. I just absolutely love her and all the things that she does. So, Katrina, I want to kick off our very first podcast talking about burnout. Mm-hmm. Recently, I know you posted an article discussing burnout for the entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs often get burnt out. They, you know, we give up and we have grand openings and grand closings because, you know, we have no balance,
right? Coming soon.
Yes. Yeah. And so I want every Monday for us to be able to give some tips and things that will help, that female business owner.
Absolutely.
From burning out. So I want you to just introduce yourself, talk about what it is you do with Awaken Wellness Consulting. And this lady right here is a beast. If you don't know her, please tell them how they could connect with you as well. But I would like to introduce Coach K.
Well, thank you, Nicole. My organization, Awakening Wellness Consultant in Training, we focus on whole health wellness. So often the industry will have you focus on weight loss, or they'll have you focus on nutrition, counting calories. But we believe that wellness is an inside job and that we've been called to be well and not perfect. So you can reach me at Awakening Wellness Consultant. I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, and I would love to connect with you. Yes, I am excited that finally, after years and years and years of debating with medical professionals and psychologists and psychiatrists, that the World Health Organization has officially came out and said that burnout is a medical diagnosis.
Wow.
Which is major.
That's major.
Because for years, it's always been said, it's just people don't know how to balance their life. It's just about setting limits. It's about this, different things. But now, when you have the World Health Organization to come back and officially give it a diagnosis and actually give it a CD code, that when you go to the doctor, they can charge your insurance for it.
Absolutely.
It's for real.
It's major.
It's a for real deal. And they've actually called it, it's actually a syndrome. And it's not just feeling tired. You know, we all get tired on our job.
Sure.
But some of the key things that are it's a reoccurring chronic disease. So that means it keeps coming back.
Right.
And a lot of times what tends to happen is for us that are business owners, when you work at a job, most jobs have an employee assistance program or employee wellness program. So you can kind of reach outside of your area if you're having some trouble.
Right.
You can get some sessions, some counseling, or they'll even give you some tips on how to meditate. But what do you do when you work for yourself?
You got to create a day, basically, you know.
You have to create a day.
And we've talked about this numerous times about just having, what do you call it?
I call it my wellness days.
Yeah, wellness days.
Taking a wellness moment or a wellness day. And what is critical about this diagnosis and the fact that the World Health Organization has given it a true medical term is that they've said it only applies to the workforce.
Wow.
This is the only medical diagnosis that does not apply to everybody.
Right.
I mean, this is not like heart disease. This is not like having stroke. This is something they're saying that's only plaguing the business in the working workforce.
That's amazing. Well, we know it to be true. I mean, my goodness, you can tell when you burn out. You know, it's like you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So now that they've diagnosed this, they have it out there. They put it out there. I mean, this has been like a big buzz right now, you know, especially with mental health.
May is Mental Health Month.
Yeah. You know, Mental Health Month. So it just, and I think it came out right at the end of May.
It did. They made the announcement on May 28th. And I just want to go back and recap because I want people to understand that the symptoms for burnout are when you're feeling, you got a lack of energy. You just feel depleted.
Right.
That's when you're in the point where you're talking yourself to go to work every morning. When you feel,
I remember those days.
When you feel disconnected from your job and your coworkers, and it doesn't bring you any level of joy.
Wow.
When you become negative.
Wow.
When you become that cloud in the office. Ooh. Where they can see you coming and people
run. Right.
Not a
good thing.
When you get to the point where you just can't find any level of performance, when you just stop performing. And the thing about this is, and I think this is a good number, I pulled this number because I want to make sure we knew this. Burnout is caused in the United States healthcare. They estimated in the Internal Journal of Medicine that it's costing the United States $4.6 billion.
Wow.
In healthcare because people don't go get properly diagnosed, so they're pain seeking. They're going getting pain meds.
Right.
Or they're calling in sick.
Right.
Or they're taking extensive time from work. So when you tie all that in, this burnout is costing America $4.6 billion.
That's a lot of money.
And just imagine if you work for yourself.
Yeah.
What would happen to your business?
I mean, your business would die. And so I think that's why it's so important that on the CEO Mindset that we kind of talk about these things, because I think there's a pool of women who are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That and I've read statements online, on Facebook, on Instagram. Yeah. I've seen different things from friends that I know that have businesses that are at the point of being burnt out. Yeah. You know, they don't know which way to go. They can't find, and I don't know if you ever really find balance. So I hate using that word.
Yeah.
But there's no happy medium, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the one thing, and you know, you and I've talked about that. I don't like that word balance. I think that's, first of all, that's one of the biggest myths out in the world. Right. You ain't gonna never have balance.
Is like saying normal.
Yeah.
What is that?
I mean, if you get your personal life together, then something's gonna jump off on your business. You get that straight, then something's gonna happen with your health. Get that straight, something's gonna happen with your kid, the cat, the dog. But I think what we have to do as women is stop. First of all, stop and breathe. And then step back and do an assessment and ask yourself, what can I do? What can I really handle right now?
Right.
Because one of the things that they talked about when I was reading the article on about burnout is that most people said they feel like they are out of control and they don't feel like they can get enough done.
Okay.
Maybe you're doing some stuff you don't need to do.
Right. Right.
You know, reevaluate. Uh-huh. I think it's very, very important for women because we're always thinking.
Yeah.
We're thinking about
always
the cat.
Multitasking.
We're thinking
about
the thing. And you know what? And I'm going to tell y'all right now, multitasking is putting a lot of people in the ground because it's giving you additional stress on your body.
Absolutely.
You can only do so much in so many hours and so many days. Now, I know that there are some exceptional people out there that can pack a lot into their day.
Yeah.
Katrina's not one of them.
Right. I don't want to be one of them.
I have one speed. It's slow and steady. And at the end of the day, what I always ask myself before I go to sleep at night is, did I achieve at least two things for my business? Because a lot of time, as women, as entrepreneurs, we got these big grand goals and they're great.
Right.
But you got to track the small stuff.
Right.
If you don't give yourself credit for the small stuff, you'll never celebrate when the big things happen.
So, and I like what you just said. So it's better to, even if you have a to-do list, if you complete two items off of that to-do list of 60 items.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment and celebrate that, right?
Yeah. And even with your to-do list, I think for us that work for ourselves, you have to even pare that to-do list down and ask yourself, what is essential for my business?
Right. Absolutely.
And then delegate some other things. For example, do you really need to go to the post office and pick up stamps? Can't you pick up stamps while you're already in Office Depot? Can you just order them online? I mean, sometimes
Figuring out what works.
Yeah, figures out what's worked for you. You know, we have all this great technology we can do video conference now. We can Instagram, you know, we got Facebook. But how can you use technology to advance what you're already doing?
Which is true. And, you know, I was thinking about that when you were talking. I kind of zoned out because I was thinking. I think so many times as women entrepreneurs, we tend to try to take on too many things, right?
We do, because we want our stamp on it. We want to be able to say, I did this. And I'm like, no, man.
Instead of delegating. I mean, I've hired you before, to do things. And I've worked with you to do stuff for me before. Right. So, it's just, you want to make sure that you're not trying to do everything. And I think that's important for entrepreneurs to know that it's okay for you to reach out and maybe outsource some of the things that you don't necessarily need to be doing. Right.
I mean, I outsource within my own family. Like when I get ready to go to a conference and I know that I've got to put conference bags together, I'm not sitting up at night stuffing conference bags. I have two nieces that are 14 and 16. Right. They know their job is to come and do the bags, put the labels on it. And no, I don't check behind them. You know, I check with them the first time and show them how to do it and make sure it's okay. And then after that, I trust them. I empower my girls because they're my nieces, but they're my girls, because I want them to understand, yes, there's nothing wrong with having a job. Right. You know, sometimes you get blessed to find a job you really love, but there's also nothing wrong with having something for yourself.
Absolutely.
But what we have to do, first of all, as women, we got to be willing to ask for some help. Some of us are too prideful.
This is true.
Pride will put you in the ground.
Pride will burn you out.
You have to step back and just ask yourself, for example, if first of all, what you want to do is ask yourself, what part of my work that I do that I really don't enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing you need to give away.
So identifying some things.
Identify some things.
Yeah.
Like for me, I am not creative. Anytime I need a design or I need a logo, I call Nicole. I say, Nicole, this is the theme of the conference and they want something pretty. Make it pretty. And I leave it because that's not my strength.
Right.
A lot of times as women, again, we want to put our stamp on everything. But it's okay to let people help you. But the thing is, people will not help you if you don't open your mouth and ask for some help. You got to say something.
So
I see posts all the time saying, check on your strong friends. First of all, none of us are strong. Let's be clear. That's just a bunch of foolishness you're telling yourself.
Right.
None of us are strong. We all are battling something. I think I posted the other day that said, be kind to everyone you meet, because we're all fighting a battle within ourselves.
This is true.
Even the most put together person, Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, all those wonderful people, they're battling it every day too.
Absolutely.
But if in order to avoid that kind of burnout and overextension of yourself, you got to be willing to ask for some help. That's the very first thing. And then you have to acknowledge what it is that I'm doing that I don't enjoy and look in your circle. Sometimes you have people right next to you. And a lot of times we look within our family. We got to look beyond our family. Sometimes people have been placed in your life
for a reason. Yes,
and even if it's for a season, let those people help you to get through what you're getting through now.
Sure.
And it's not about using people. And that's the thing. Another thing we got to stop saying as women entrepreneurs, we're not using people. This is a fair exchange.
Right. Bartering.
Yeah, it's called bartering.
So it's like knowing the terms, right?
Yeah.
And really bartering. Making it work for you. So let's get back on this burnout.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all the times on my 9-to-5 job when I was actually working a job for an employer and how many times I got burned out. And I didn't hesitate. So when you talked about taking time off, I would take sometimes use my sick days.
And that's what sick days are for, vacation days.
You know, and vacation days just to have that time for myself. And sometimes I would really feel guilty about that. But then I was like, you know what? I owe it to myself. My job was very demanding.
Yes.
And I think, you know, at that time, it was just something I needed to do for me, for my mental health, right? And so what are they saying? I mean, what are they saying now? So if you get burned out on a job, what do they expect you to do as an entrepreneur? What are their suggestions?
So this is one of the things. I'm a member of the National Health Institute, and I went back and looked at, there's actually an organization called the Mindfulness Movement. And one of the things that the National Health Organization, these are some suggestions that they have for us. First of all, one, make sure you're doing work that has a purpose for you and that you're passionate about.
Ah.
If you're doing something that is not, you don't have a purpose and you're not passionate about, you're going to easily get burned out.
Yeah.
The second thing they suggested was reevaluate your job. You know, like I said, identify what are you really good at and strong at and what are you not good at. And if you're working with a partner, talk to your partner about things that you don't enjoy doing and see if you can delegate or eliminate it from your job. You know, maybe you should not be the marketing person for your team.
Right.
You know, maybe somebody else should be the marketing person.
Right.
Or maybe if you are, or you're an entrepreneur and you're working alone from home, maybe you start going and networking with other entrepreneurs and see who you can tap into that can help you with those things.
Okay.
They gave us four other tips. The next tip they gave us was take control of your activities and your time. Manage your time well. And what that means is put some rest time in there for yourself.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we believe at the National Health Institute is that every person needs to have moments throughout the week where you can just stop and breathe and meditate.
Sure.
And meditate is not spooky.
Yeah, right.
It's just simply putting your feet flat on the floor and putting your hands on top of your leg and just taking a couple deep breaths, like 3 to 6 deep breaths, and just calming yourself down so you don't feel so overwhelmed.
Right.
Number four, like I said, ask for help. Don't try to do everything by yourself. If you're a member of a professional group, you know, sometimes we don't think about that. Even if we're going out and we're in professional groups, whether it's real estate or maybe you are in a sales and marketing group, tap into your organization. Sometimes they have resources. For example, I just found out through a group locally here that supports pastors and their wives that the pastors and wives can get free AEAP counseling through a local hospital system.
Oh, wow.
Just because they're in that network. The fifth tip was start some type of movement. Now, I don't like the word exercise because I ain't with exercise. But find some type of movement, whether it's dancing, gardening, walking, swimming. Because what happens is when you move, it releases those endorphins in your body.
Sure.
It kind of gets you back kind of moving around, kind of get things stirring up in your blood. Find those kind of things that bring you joy. And then the last thing is this number six tip they gave for entrepreneurs was learn to manage your stress in a healthy way. That does not mean overeating and drinking or, you know, over excessive sleeping or self-medicating. We don't want you to do those things, but find a healthy way to deal with your stress. Like for me, I'm an asthmatic. And when I get stressed out, I will have a full-blown asthma attack and stop breathing. So for me, when I feel myself getting tight, I will plan what I call I call it my personal Sabbath. I will plan a day where I take 3 to 4 hours and I will do something simple, such as go to the Memphis Botanic Garden and just walk around in the garden. That's free.
Right.
Go by the river. Be outside by water. Water really calms me.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Get me some by some water and just walking and not thinking about nothing. Just letting my mind go. And what the National Institute has shown is that if you do these six tips, because it really comes down to understanding what it is that keeps you motivated to keep doing what you love. Because if you're an entrepreneur and you're a shiro, you want to do the stuff that makes an impact and that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. But if you get to the point where you're hating what you're doing, that's when you know for sure you're in full blown burnout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So those six tips, I think, will definitely help. Our listeners.
I love those tips. I want to kind of add to that because I came across this the other day on Facebook. A friend posted this and they have what they're calling a soul detox, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what they're suggesting is that you, for 30 days, it's a reset challenge, 30-day reset challenge. No phone or social media the first and last hour of your day.
Yes, I agree with that.
And that's so incredibly important because how many of us actually wake up, grab our phone, start scrolling? You lose so much time.
And one of the things I was going to say when you said that, one of the things I want to suggest that you all do, put your phone way across the room.
Oh, yeah. I actually started doing that.
And yeah.
You know what? Because it's across the room, I don't get up because I don't want to get up.
Yep.
I don't get up and go pick it up to, you know, text. I don't pick it up to look at social media or anything like that. So I really like the no phone, no social media, the first and last hour of your day.
Oh, yeah, that's critical. That's a good one.
If you got an iPhone, use the do not disturb. I use do not disturb all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Don't bug me at a certain time, because after a certain hour, I really don't want to, you know, talk.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I really need to unwind, and that's something that I did for myself.
Yeah, I cut off at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, Sundays are sacred for me.
Yeah.
Don't
mess with Sunday.
Don't mess with my Sunday.
So another one was exercise daily for at least 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that could be a walk in, yep. You know, a walk in your neighborhood, a walk in at the park, the botanic garden. I love that idea because it's absolutely beautiful.
All the scenic. Flowers and the scenic.
Yeah, absolutely. Meditate for the first 15 minutes of your day.
Yeah, I do that. That keeps me sane.
And I got a book a long time ago, from a friend of mine, and she's also an entrepreneur, but it was called Commanding Your Morning. Okay. And I think that's so important that we really, as entrepreneurs, we set out to command our morning. Set out the, you know, what do I want to accomplish today? Let's set out to do that. We have to start putting some things in perspective, I think, you know, as entrepreneurs.
And I want to add to that part right there, because I think what messes up a lot of times, we get so caught up on that to-do list. It's not about what's on your to-do list.
Right.
It's about, what are the six essential things that today that will impact my business?
Yeah.
For example, being on your podcast. This is one of my six essential things, because it's going to impact my business.
Right.
I think as women entrepreneurs, we've got to try to shift the way we look at things. Yeah, you'll have a to-do list, but you really got to narrow it down and pull out, because really in 8 hours, you really can only accomplish about 4 to 5 things anyway.
Right.
So you got to narrow those things down and say, what are the six most essential things for today?
And you know, it's so funny because I use a little list or something that I found online. And I think, I don't know if it says to do on top of it or whatever, but you know what I use it for? Just to remember what I'm supposed.
Yeah.
I'm getting old, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just simply to remember, because I think a lot of times when you're in business for yourself and you do it full time, there's so much going on. I literally use it just to jot notes, so I remember to go back and take care of this or do, you know, because so much goes on during the day. And then on top of that, being a mother, you know, so I'm a mother, and you know, so it's so many things. Yeah.
And one of the things I do with my list too, is just a side note, ladies, is I make a box and I call it my parking lot. And that's anything that pops in my head that has nothing to do with my business, such as pick up eggs from this grocery store or right. pick up detergent. That it has nothing to do with my business. That goes in the parking lot. My essential list, my to-do list has nothing's on there but stuff that has to do with my business, my building my network, building my relationships. Anything else goes over in the parking lot.
And you know, it's really difficult, I think, when you're in business for yourself, right? Just to find that discipline, because being an entrepreneur, you have to be disciplined.
Oh yeah. You have to.
It's too easy to get off track and to... just say, I'll put that off. I'll do that tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes, then you got 1,000 other things to do on top of what you didn't do already. You know, so I think just being a little focused, a little disciplined about your day, and really commanding
your day. And commanding that calendar, not letting your phone control you. I know everybody's into their calendars, but let me tell you something. Studies have shown, Harvard Medical School has shown, that when you write stuff down, you retain it longer.
Yes.
Use your calendar. Plan your day. If you saw my calendar at home, y'all think I was crazy. My calendar shows at 6:30. I wake up. It has my meditation, my prayer time. I mean, literally my day is plotted out.
And don't forget the me day.
And oh yeah.
Don't
Friday will be my me day this week, because I work this weekend. But in order to, and I want to make sure we go back, because I want to make sure you finish your list.
You're tapping right into the next thing.
Because if we don't, and I, for some reason, and I just want to free everybody, it doesn't matter if nobody else acknowledges what you feel, own what you feel.
Right, right.
Just acknowledge what you feel right now in the present. It doesn't matter if nobody else understands it or accepts it. Mm-hmm. You feel what you feel. Once you acknowledge what you feel, then you can move forward. A lot of times what happens with burnout, especially with women,
yeah,
We always want to be in denial. We want to be, we too busy.
How we doing? How you doing? I'm great.
Okay, I'm yeah. Nah, fine.
Blessed and highly favored.
If I hear that one more time. No, you freaked out, insecure, and neurotic, right. And getting crazy. Just acknowledge that, you know, right now, and I tell people most time, if you run up and meet me, I will say I am well. And I say that because that is my whole purpose in life. I truly want to be whole and I want to be well.
Amen.
And the thing that I love know, it. Like you said, commanding your day, yes. I speak wellness over my life.
Right.
All the time. Anybody that knows me will tell you I'm always speaking about, because I believe in order to be effective as an entrepreneur, I've got to be well.
Yeah.
You and do. That's mind, body, soul, and spirit.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're not well, then I can't do the work.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to kick off this podcast with that topic, because I've just noticed it. And it was even before you posted the article that I started noticing a lot of my entrepreneur friends on Facebook, you know, really venting about how frustrated and how they felt burnt out and they want to give up. And that's sad to me, because you didn't strike out to do it. You know, when we start a business, we are gung-ho, and I want people to keep that same energy.
Passion and energy.
Yeah. So one of the things, and you kind of tapped into this with the calendar and, you know, jotting things down and remembering things. The next tip that was given for the soul detox was for you to journal nightly.
Yes. Right? I call it my brain dump. Do that before you go to bed at night. It doesn't even have to make sense, ladies. Just go to Dollar Tree. It don't have to be a fancy journal. I tell people this all the time.
Yeah, notebook.
I work with cancer patients and caregivers. Mm-hmm. And one thing I have heard repeatedly, that when they sit down at night before they go to bed, when they do what they call a brain dump and just pour everything out their brain, it reduces their stress and they sleep better.
Honey, I need to do that more often, man. I guess
I do it every night.
I need
night.
To get back to journal. And I do journal, but not as often as I used to. You know, before I started as an entrepreneur, I did journal every day.
And I think for women, we have to find what works for us. Now, I don't journal every day. I don't. But what I do is I make sure at least 3 times a week I do what's called a brain dump. And that's when I just literally write out everything that's in my head. Every anxiety, every fear, anything I'm working on. It don't even make sense. And usually, no doubt, I'm just going to tell y'all, for me, usually when I write everything out and I leave it alone and I go back and look at it like that next Saturday or that Sunday, I usually can find the source of what's had me stressed out that week.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. That is awesome. So, yeah, I really want to encourage our CEOs to journal, you know, especially when things are tough and they're difficult and you feel like giving up. I do agree that that's probably the best time to journal, because I don't, like I said, I don't journal every day, but I do journal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the other things that they suggested is, you know, drinking water, of course, 3 liters of water daily, go to bed.
Yes.
Aim for at least 7 hours of sleep. And this is a major problem for entrepreneurs, because they tend not to get enough rest.
Well, you know, that's one of my things. I have an alarm clock to set for me to wake up, and I have one to tell me when time to go to bed. Seriously.
I do too.
Because what I found, being a mother, being a caregiver, and being the head of my household, first of all, medically and physically, I need proper rest. So I have an alarm clock that goes off at 9:30. I don't care where I'm at, whether I'm in town, out of town, 9:30, my clock goes off.
Right.
My second alarm goes off at 10 o'clock. I don't care what I'm doing at 10 o'clock, unless it's absolutely, absolutely essential, I'm going to go to bed. Now, if I have to leave stuff laid out so in the morning when I wake up, I can pick up where I started off at.
Sure.
I go to bed. You have to go to bed.
I'm learning that. You know, when I was younger, and I do say that.
Okay, I got you.
I'm young at heart. But when I was younger, I used to, you know, even starting my business, I did event planning. And, you know, when you're doing event planning, that's a lot of logistics, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
So I would get like 2, 3, maybe 4 hours at best of sleep.
I'd be flat on my face. Right? Let me tell you, you wouldn't get nothing from me.
Oh, my gosh. And nowadays, I'm trying to do better. It's like I cannot function on those same. Now, before, I used to be good to go. I can pop back and go for what you know. I would just get it done. But now I notice if I don't get the proper rest, oh, I'm a whole different person.
Oh, I have
a whole different person.
I have something. I call it the nap ministry that everybody needs to join every Sunday at 3 o'clock.
The nap ministry.
I have a faithful nap ministry. I don't go to afternoon programs. I am asleep on Sundays at 3. So
yes.
One other thing I want to say about burnout that I think is really, really important for women entrepreneurs. We got to release the shoulds in our life. We always talk about, I should have did this and I should have did that. Okay. You will should your life away.
Right.
There's always going to be something you should have done, but you can't focus on that. You have to stop and focus on, okay, what can I do right now? What is in the best interest of my business, and where can I show up as my best self and a person of excellence? Because when you work for yourself, you are your marketing brand.
You are
your marketing team, your promotion team, your brand. And when you show up, you are it.
Right. So if you don't get enough rest,
if you don't get enough rest, if you don't get enough water,
you're not coming at your best self.
And you know, people talk about, I'm living my best life. Well,
you might be,
but my question is, first of all, do you even know what your best life look like?
Right. Ooh. Oh.
Because most of the time, we don't sit down and be still long enough to figure out what it is that really want. Some people even have businesses. You really didn't want that business. Mm-hmm. You just started a business because somebody else had one.
Ooh. Now, that's sad.
Yeah, but it's true.
Okay,
you know, some people, the reason you burned out is because you're working in something that you should not be doing in the first place.
At all.
You know, I believe that there are some exceptional women out here. There are some women doing some great things.
Mm-hmm.
And we all struggle. Don't get me wrong. We all have challenges.
Oh my gosh,
because that's how you grow your bounce back ability. That's how we get those muscles. But if you are always struggling and you always fighting,
it might be
time to step back and evaluate and say, you know, this may not be the line of business I need to be in. And I can say that because I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I attempted two other businesses before I truly found my place in this world.
Right.
And I will tell you, I was frustrated. I was disappointed. I was angry when I was trying to do those other two businesses. But in honesty, one of those businesses I was doing is because my sister was doing it.
Ah.
You know, my sister had started her own business. She had a virtual assistant business in St. Louis, and she was doing really well, and she's still doing well. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm going to go be a virtual assistant.
Right.
No, ma'am. Stop, reverse, a bunch of foolishness. And so even though I have the gift of administration, what I learned from that experience was I don't have the capacity to work with a whole lot of people. Because you're dealing with a whole lot of personalities, different communication styles.
Sure.
And when you're trying to be somebody's assistant, I can't be more into your business than you are.
Oh, yeah. Now that's deep.
So
that's deep.
So that's when I shifted and said, okay, what am I really strong at? I'm a strong communicator. I'm a strong trainer. Let me take that and make that my business. And that's how awakening came, because I had an awakening moment to realize you in the wrong business, girl.
An epiphany.
So that's how Awakening Wellness came to be, because I realized that I was going through burnout.
Mm-hmm.
I was constantly upset. I was crying all the time. I was just depressed. And I was like, I can't keep a client. And I was just talking to my sister. And then I had another friend in Atlanta that had started a virtual assistant business. And they all were doing so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I sucked. And I'm like, why do I suck at this? I'm a good person. And I realized I was working against my strength.
Right. And I think that's something that, as a CEO, you have to be honest with yourself, right?
Oh.
You really have to identify, is this the business for me, number one?
Yeah.
Am I passionate about it? Because I'm like you. I believe if you're not passionate about what you're doing, it's not going to be projected in anything that you say or do.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
People tell me all the time, you know, my business is travel. You know, I'm a travel agent. So when I talk about travel, I am super amped. I can tell you
absolutely
where you should go and, you know, how you should get there. And I'm super amped. I can tell you stories about places that I've been to and
absolutely
places I want to go, you know. So it comes out in what I say and what I do, right?
Yeah.
And I think because of that, kind of passes on to other people and they catch it, you know?
They do. The one thing I do know to be true is your words, deeds, and actions.
They have to align
with your business.
Absolutely.
And when you're battling burnout, it will not align.
And, you know, so let me ask this question for our CEOs, because somebody I'm sure is listening to this podcast and probably thinking, man, you know, this is me right now. Mm-hmm. I feel burnt out. Mm-hmm. Where do I go to get some help? As a you know, entrepreneur, there are some programs somewhere, and this is a, you know, a broadcast that's reaching the masses. So who should they turn to? You know, I have a circle of friends that are also entrepreneurs. I can talk to them. I have really good just family friends that I can actually, you know, bounce ideas off of. So I have a support group. But what about that CEO that doesn't have a great support group? Who can she go to?
Well, one of the first places you want to always start is, I always say, start with your inner circle first. For example, if you're connected to faith-based organizations, some faith-based organizations have Christian counselors you can reach out to.
Okay.
If you have insurance, reach out to your insurance carrier. They can connect you with, there are several companies that offer employee assistance programs for entrepreneurs.
Okay.
For example, a Methodist hospital works with organizations outside of the Methodist health system here in Memphis, and they can connect you with counselors that you can talk with.
Awesome.
Also within your community, reach out to the Mental Health Association. Every community has one, and every community has a crisis center. And last but not least, you can always reach out to within the colleges. They have the School of Social Work and Public Health. You can always reach out to them.
Nice.
So there are a lot of resources in your community that you can connect with, whether you have insurance or don't have insurance. And don't forget your local clinics. Locally here in Memphis, we have a Church Health Center. We have Christ Community. We have Cherokee Health Care Center. Those local clinics have behavioral health specialists on site all day long.
Awesome.
And if you don't have insurance, they have prorated rates where you can still go and see them. So nobody has to suffer in the dark. Nobody has to feel isolated. Nobody has to feel like I'm alone, that there's something wrong with me, I need to be fixed. There are people out here that are waiting and wanting to help you, especially when you are a woman that has a business. Your community needs you, because we want your business to do well so you can expand and grow and hire some more people.
Absolutely.
So we need to kill this spirit of burnout so you all can go on and blow up and help employ some more people and continue to grow your business so you can become not just local but international business owners.
Oh, love it. So that should be some motivation for somebody listening to this broadcast today. Definitely should be motivation. So I want to kind of switch gears.
Okay.
We're talking about burnout, and you are also a business owner with Awakening
Wellness, yes.
Wellness Consulting.
Yes.
Which I absolutely love how you came up with that. That was great. So I want you to talk about your experience as a CEO. Some difficulties maybe that you've had to go, you know, things that you've had to like iron out and kind of get straight so you could continue on the path. Because I do remember us having a conversation a while back when you first got started, you know, and it could have caused burnout for you.
Yeah.
You know, but you decided to persevere and you made it through. But maybe share some tips, some things that you did during that process. Share what it was and then share some tips that actually helped you find your way through that process.
Well, my journey to becoming an entrepreneur has been a 10-year journey. Like I said, I tried a couple other things that didn't work well. My first venture out, in having my own business, my first challenge was everyone connected me with my previous employer. I had to rebrand who I was.
Okay.
Because everybody knew me for my previous employer.
Wow.
And it took me, and this is no lie, it literally took me almost a year to get people to understand I'm no longer with those people. I'm with myself.
Right. Right.
I work for myself. I'm doing this for myself. The second challenge was, being invested in my own training and development, because everybody out here, there's so many different businesses in the city. But what I wanted Awakening to do is I truly wanted to help people to discover what it means to be whole for you.
Amen.
I was not trying to have a prepackaged program to say, this is 10 tips to be sexy by summer. My program is not that. My program truly narrows down and asks those hard questions. Mm-hmm. And people are not comfortable answering those questions.
They are not.
But I found that anybody that goes through the training, they always come back to me and said, it's changed my way I view my life now. I ask myself, what's healthy for me, instead of asking, should I do something because somebody asked me?
Oh, that's good. And, that's good.
So one of my third biggest challenges was I stepped away from a job that paid me really good money, and I went part-time so I could build my business. I intentionally left a full-time job with full-time benefits, full-time pay, and said, okay, I'm going to take a part-time job. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to work my business. And for the first year, all my travel I paid out of pocket. I wrote my own proposals. I submitted everything to the conferences. I mean, everything I did was out of pocket. And it was scary. And there were times I was like, am I really should be doing this?
But sometimes, you know, it's good that you made the sacrifice. And I think all of us as CEOs, we are making sacrifices. We're sacrificing somewhere to make our dreams come true, so to speak.
Yeah. And what I learned from that, I, for you all that don't know me, my background is I grew up in North Mississippi. I'm a little country girl that moved to Memphis. And one of the things I remember my dad saying to me all the time is, don't expect people to spend money on you if you won't spend money on yourself.
Ooh.
You know, so
say that again. Somebody needed to hear that.
Don't expect people to spend money on you when you won't spend money on yourself.
Now that's deep.
So that means investing in your training, joining the professional organization, doing what you need to do. But the steps I found for me is I looked at my life kind of like we do our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with your cell phone? Well, one, when your phone is completely depleted,
right?
What do? You turn it off mm-hmm. and you connect it so it can recharge.
Right.
When I feel depleted, I turn myself off. I disconnect from people.
I take some
quiet time.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, I think our CEOs need to hear that because I think we're afraid to do that.
Yeah, we're afraid.
We feel like we're going to miss something, but we're not missing out on anything.
Okay. This is just from Katrina to all y'all with love. Like one of my friends said, I want you to heal my heart, but feel my push. You don't need permission to live your life.
You don't.
Okay. When you're depleted, disconnect. You know, I don't do the Facebook. I don't do the Instagram. I don't need people to know I was at Kroger yesterday. You know, I just disconnect. Right. When I feel my battery almost burned down, I go into places that feed me. For example, having lunch with my friends feed my soul.
Okay.
I go with people that feed me. I don't try to force myself in people's lives, which is, let me put a sticky note here.
Yeah.
Sometimes as entrepreneurs, we try to fight and make our family support us and understand us. That's not their job.
Nope.
That is not their role. Your family's job is to be your family. If you mm-hmm. need mentors and supporters, go find those people. They're not your family.
Right.
So stop getting mad at them because they go to work. And they work their jobs. Yep. And I tell people all the time, do not expect somebody to support your $1 million dream when they're satisfied making $10 an hour.
Right.
It's not putting them down. That's just the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is, when I do need to be refreshed, I know what feeds my soul.
Right.
I go listen to some good music. I go for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I go and experience new things. One of the things I've been doing lately is I'm not an art person, but I have a good friend that's in the art. She's been taking me to art exhibits, just getting my brain exposed to new things.
Yeah.
And those are the things I found for me that keep me recharged, refreshed, and renewed to keep doing this every day.
Yeah.
So I can not only not just live, but guys, we're supposed to thrive.
Yes.
Some of us are just getting out the bed, barely making it. And that's not what this life is about. Not as a business owner.
Not at all.
You know, you're going to be fabulous. You know, I shared this yesterday. We have a spreadsheet in a business that's in the black,
mm-hmm.
but your soul is in the black because you're not feeding it.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to make time for those things that give you energy, whether it's music or art or going outside. I have another friend that has a business. She's training for her first triathlon. She's like, I always wanted to, you know, compete at a lower level. And she is so hyped. She runs every day. And it's like her whole energy level is like on 100.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know,
I think when you find something that you're passionate about, and having all of those things, those resources available to you, we have to identify, like you said, what feeds us. And if that's something she's passionate about, of course her energy level is going to be like 1,000, right? All the time. I love it.
And I think as women entrepreneurs, sometimes we're looking outside for the answer, and the answer is in the inside. Hmm. I truly, truly believe that you truly know what you need, but you got to be willing to express it. Absolutely. And there's a fear that's in women for some reason to just really stand up and say what you need. You know, for example, I'll use me for example. I'll be transparent as all get out. My family went to St. Louis this weekend. I did not need to go to St. Louis this weekend. Katrina stayed home. Katrina rested and took a nap. I had just came off the road from 3 weeks of training. Did I need to literally get packed up in another car and go somewhere? Now, don't get me wrong. I love my family. We're going to do something together for Labor Day weekend.
Right.
But I was physically and mentally tired. Now, they did not like the fact that I did not go because everybody went. But that ain't not my responsibility.
But kudos to you for recognizing I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think as women, we, like I said earlier, we try to multitask. We try to be everything to everybody and nothing to ourselves.
We leave ourselves with nothing.
Yeah. And we got to stop doing that.
We have got to stop that generational madness.
Yes.
I am so over trying to be, you know, they talk about I can go home, get the bacon and cook and fry in the pan. I'm not trying to do all that. I am just trying to be at a point where, first of all, if you don't have peace of mind, you can't function. And that's another entity of when you have chronic burnout.
Yeah.
The syndrome, it takes your peace of mind and you can't function. You can't think anyway. So
you're no good to nobody.
Yeah. So as women entrepreneurs, what I would suggest that you schedule on your calendar, because you can't put colors on your calendar. And Nicole knows I use color all the time. You need to put some, you know, find whatever your favorite color is. Like for me, my personal time is purple. And personal time, ladies, is not going getting your hair done, your nails done. That's called maintenance. That's just like getting your car, oil change in your car and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Purple time, your true wellness time, is when you are intentionally doing things that bring you joy and that recharge you.
Absolutely.
And it does not have to be things that cost money. Something simple as here in Memphis, we have the beautiful Crosstown area. Sometimes I'll just go get me a cup of coffee and just walk around Crosstown and look at the people. I go people watching.
Right.
Because I think it's amazing. Some of the things I see people wearing and doing.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
So just being in tune with yourself. If I can say anything that I think is more prevalent when it comes to avoiding burnout and making sure as an entrepreneur you have some good self-care, you've got to spend some time with yourself and know yourself.
That's true.
You've got set aside some time to really break down and ask yourself, what do I need for my business? What do I need for myself? What do I need for my family? What do I need for my spirit and my soul? And what do I need for my body and my mind? And once you can identify those things, then you can truly be a strong Shiro. You can be a strong entrepreneur because you can identify those things. And then you'll know how to go out and recharge yourself.
That's good. That's good. We got to start commanding our day.
Yes.
At all costs. We need to identify if the business we're in, is it something you're really passionate about?
Absolutely.
Is it something that you really want to do? And does that show in what you say and do?
Yeah.
You know, that's really important.
Absolutely.
Take a me day. Figure out some time. Take some time to yourself. It's okay to say no. No is a complete sentence.
Absolutely.
You know, we're afraid to say no. We're afraid to turn people down. You know what? Even for me as a business owner, if I don't feel like you're the client that I'm looking for,
absolutely,
I have no problem. I will turn you down.
All money ain't good money.
It ain't. And so we have to kind of keep that in mind. Don't be so desperate, you know, for money that we take everybody as a client or do business with everybody, because you can't.
And one last tip I want to give for all of the entrepreneurs, that whether you travel or you do training, whenever you come back off the road and you've been away for a while, take a day.
Yes.
Don't book something the next day. You need a day for your body, mind, soul, and spirit to realign to being home.
Yeah.
So don't plan any important meetings the day after when you get back, that's not going to go well for you.
I had to, you know, and yeah, and I had to figure that out too, because I'm just constantly going. And as a travel agent, you know, we have opportunities to travel to different places and see different things. And I came back from Cabo and had a day in between and had to fly out to LA.
I remember that.
And so I was so incredibly tired. I was like, I will never do that again. Back-to-back trips like that, because you do need that time to just kind of unwind, like you said, kind of regroup. And even in my business, I've learned, and this is something else. This is a tip I want to give everybody. You better have some business hours, because people
will call you morning and night.
Right, calling you. I literally had to tell a gentleman the other day. I was like, it is 10:26 p.m.
You cannot call me.
This is not the time to be calling me about anything. He was texting, but that's rude. You know, like all businesses have set business hours. Yeah. Set your business hours. Stick to those business hours and enforce those business hours.
And set do not disturb on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to bed at night, I'm so sorry. You better catch me before 7:30.
Yeah.
Because actually for me, my hours end because I go in at 9. My day starts like at 9 most days. Mm-hmm. And I do stuff up to 7:30. I don't even call customers after 7:30. Like if someone calls me and leave me a voicemail or inbox me and say, hey, Katrina, I want to talk to you about some training, or I want you to come and speak at my conference. The latest I'm going to call you is 7:30, unless a person tells me specifically call me at 8 or 9.
Right.
Because I don't want to talk to you, because I'm trying to be with my family too. You know, and I'm trying to spend some time with my loved ones. And that's another thing that's important for CEO women. Don't sacrifice your family.
Right. Exactly. You know, please don't.
You know, I see, you know, we have this misconception that has been told to women. Oh, you can have it all. Yeah, you can. You just can't have it all at the same time.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, stop having this unrealistic expectation of yourself and others. You know, we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make mistakes. We're gonna make errors, but as long as it's not intentional, forgive people and move on. And that's another underlying problem of burnout.
Yeah.
You hold all this animosity in yourself and all this unforgiveness in yourself. Well, they didn't support me, or they didn't come to my thing, or they didn't post. So let it go.
And some things we have to unlearn, right?
Yeah, you have to unlearn
how we deal with things. When you were just talking, I was thinking, you know, even when it comes to the business hours, that was something I had to unlearn, because I used to work for the mayor. So in public affairs, you have to be prompt with returning calls, proper returning emails, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah,
So I've had to unlearn that practice and really enforce having business hours and making people understand that, yes, this is my business, but we do our, you know, business during these certain hours. And even working with the mayor, you know, we had a 8 to 4:30 job, but you know what I mean? We work beyond that. So
yeah, you did a lot of weekends, a lot of nights, just like I did in my previous job. Uh-huh. You know, we did a lot of nights and that is so important. I think a lot of time we get caught up on, if I hear this one more time, well, I didn't know. I know. Let's not focus on what you don't know. Let's focus on what you do know.
Right.
Well, I know. And I know. Okay, I don't care what you know. What do you know?
Right.
You do know you need to go to bed.
Yes.
You do know what hours you can work. And you do know when are your peak hours. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Stop taking calls and having conversations and emailing people when you're not at your peak. I am not a morning person.
Right.
Please do not call me before 9.
Right.
I need me a couple Folgers and some caramel macchiato creamer before I can deal with the world. However, I am a night owl.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know your peak hours. And I think that's so important when battling burnout and being stressed out with your job and your career and being a business owner. You got to know yourself.
You do. You certainly do.
I will never come and speak to anybody. I had a lady laughing the other day. She reached out to me and wanted me to come speak at a 7:30 breakfast. I just started laughing. I said, no, ma'am, no, you don't.
Right. Not at 7:30. I'm just turning over.
I am just flipping over right. in the sheets at 7:30. And she started laughing. I told her, I said, ma'am, and I really want to support her because she's doing some great work. I said, ma'am, if you ever have a luncheon or a dinner.
I'm your girl.
I'm your speaker. And then she said, well, I will pay additional. I said, ma'am, it would not be worth what you're paying me to get up and come out there. And so she just started laughing. And so grace be to God, it worked out where she's going to have something in the fall. I'm going to go speak in the fall. And when I was telling another friend about that, she was like, you turned down that money. I said, you got to understand. I know me.
Right. And if you know you're not going to be at your best, that was,
I ain't
that
got
was a
nothing
smart
to
move.
Say to nobody at 7:30 in the morning. I'm just going to tell you right now.
I'm like, where's breakfast?
If you ever see me out at 7:30 in the morning, y'all see Katrina Kimball, you know it's because somebody asked me and I had to be there. I don't do 7:30 in the morning breakfast meetings. I don't even go to networking events in the morning. Somebody invited me to a 7:30 networking event. I said, that is not that much networking in the world.
Right, yeah. And you know, I understand it works for some people, but I'm not a morning person either. So I totally understand it. And I love the fact that when I, you know, identify who my clients were, when I identified my business and how I wanted it to kind of run, that was one of the pieces that I included in there because I know me and I know I'm not at my best at early in the morning, you know. So, absolutely.
And we have to develop an action plan to avoid burnout. You know, we have all these ideas. But you have to sit down and you have to kind of, and one of the things I want to encourage the Shiros to do is don't wait till the end of the year. Reevaluate every quarter.
Right.
Sit down and ask yourself, okay, like now we're in June.
Right.
So you need to look at April, May, and June. What went well? What didn't go well?
Sure.
What did I learn from? What did I do that I don't never need to do again?
That might be your journal entry.
Yeah, that might be your journal entry because that's what I use. I look at, you know, where did I invest my time and energy? Did this go well? And invest your time and energy may not always be a monetary thing, but if it's something that increases your business or increases your exposure, it's still a benefit to you.
Right.
So you got to have an action plan. And when you're doing your calendar, put you some days in there. It may not be a whole day, but put in there at least 4 hours somewhere where you're having some downtime.
Mm.
And color code it a certain color and make sure and block it out. Make sure you're not available. Like I said, for me, my time is purple. I block out. That's my purple time. That's my wellness, my mental health time. Mm-hmm. You can't call me. I don't take calls during that time. And I hold that time sacred because I know if Katrina is going to be able to go out and do my work and do my work well, I got to make sure I have, you know, some time for myself. Now, I love people, don't get me wrong, but I do need my time away from people. And I think that's where we make the mistake at.
Right.
It's thinking that we got to always be with people.
Always doing something. We're going to miss something. We're not missing anything.
Where's my grandma? Right. Get somewhere and sit down.
Right, yes, please.
just schedule some quiet time to sit down and, like I said, just breathe and meditate and journal. And I think one of the saddest things that I see is that we have all this advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the technology, we have allowed people to have access to us 365, 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Say that. Yes.
Nobody should have that kind of access to you unless they're in your house.
Right. That's right.
That's good. I believe one of the things that we could do as entrepreneurs to help ourselves is set some healthy boundaries. Like you said, knowing when your designated work hours are going to be. Same thing for everyone. Listen, not only know the hours that you're going to work, but what about your planning time? Do you have time set aside to plan your work?
Right.
And what about your administrative side of your work? Like, when the last time you reconciled all your receipts,
right,
your mileage, right, and all those
all
things
that stuff together.
When
yeah.
you
gotta
work
take
for
a day
yourself
for it.
You've got to put that in your calendar somewhere during that month,
mm-hmm.
instead of waiting till the end of the year and you got a garbage bag full of receipts,
right?
You know,
right.
So we just have to be very strategic at what we do. And then also, again, going back, allowing technology to help make your life easier. Do you really need to go to the grocery store? No. Click listed, Amazon, and whatever.
Right.
Okay. Paper towel is paper towel. Go online, Target, Walmart.
Right.
Order it.
Have it delivered.
Because seriously, ladies, we can only do so much. Do you really need to go pick up the Bounty paper towel?
So it sounds like to me that the key to the burnout and how to avoid it is simply to readjust your, just identify some things and readjust, make the adjustments. And you might have to tweak it often.
Yeah.
You know, it may have worked for you this week. Next week is a completely different story, but you have to be flexible enough to allow allow that time to tweak it and make it work for you, right?
Yeah, assess it. And you got to have time to assess it. Look at what's working, what's not working, and adjust it. Because that's what total quality management about. That's all Six Sigma is about.
Right.
When people get Six Sigma certification, all they're looking at is the quality in which something is done. And they're constantly tweaking it.
Yeah.
You just got to take some time, do some total quality management or some Six Sigma for your life.
Absolutely. Well, Katrina, I want to thank you again for being a part of the show, being a part of this podcast and launching us and keeping us from burning out. Oh, my God, because that's a major, major, major issue. If you are listening, I encourage you to come back next week. We have a new topic. Katrina will be back with us again. Absolutely. She is on my show often because she has a wealth of knowledge in how to keep us healthy and well.
That's right.
So Katrina, before we close out, give them how to get in contact with you again.
Again, my name is Katrina Kimball and I'm with Awakening Wellness Consulting. You can locate us on Facebook, Instagram. My website is awakeningwellnessconsulting.org. We would love to connect with you because we believe you've been called to be well and not perfect.
And thanks for tuning in to the CEO Mindset Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.